Grace and peace be with you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So today I'd like to start by thanking all the youth that have helped, but I'd also like any of our youth from preschool through just graduating high school, and actually anybody that's gone through our youth program here, if you could stand up and just so we can see how many people have been a part of the youth program here at St. Peter's. I feel like the next service is we may have a few after they wake up. If I could also have a couple more people stand up, and that would be any of our youth sponsors, our Sunday school teachers, nursery leaders, or any other spiritual leaders of the young people here at St. Peter's Lutheran Church. If you could stand up for a second so we can give a thanks to everybody. As you've seen, we have a lot of people here to help with our youth program, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you. I'd also like to thank the congregation of St. Peter's Lutheran Church for all the support of our youth program and myself that has been shown in abundance year to year. This congregation has been a blessing to many young men and women over the years. Many leaders have been brought up and taught here. In my 30 years that I've been here, I've witnessed a lot of young people transformed into various leadership roles. Here at St. Peter's, we've grown a lot of people. We've grown missionaries, worship leaders, evangelizers, prayer warriors, youth leaders, and many pastors. But even more importantly, St. Peter's has grown children into God-loving and fearing adults. Many of the people that I grew up with here at this church got married here, had children here, and their own families are learning how to grow in the Lord as they had done when they were younger. I myself have been here for my entire life. I got married to my wife, Joanna, right here, and our son, Jackson, is ever so reminding me that St. Peter's is his church and nobody else's. And to share about how healthy our church is, I wanted to share the story of my great aunt. She used to come here to visit, and she would always be in awe of the small children here at St. Peter's, the crying during the long sermons that you won't have today, or the chitter chatter in the pews. And that's a sign of a healthy church. A church that is being blessed by God. And that's what we have here at St. Peter's. I'd like to just shortly share a little bit about myself for those of you who don't know me. My name is Brad Longstreth, and I've been a member of this church since I was born in 1988. Baptized in the gym before the sanctuary was built. I was born and raised in Rancho Cordova, and I've never been to another church that I'd like to call home as much as I call St. Peter's home. So throughout my middle school and high school years, my mom would have to drive myself and my siblings to church 3 to 4 times, sometimes every day during the week. I've been a part of worship teams since the early 2000s, and for my senior project, I job shadowed our, at the time, youth director, Lynn Brokenshire. Little did I know that a few short weeks after I did so, he'd be leaving us for Iowa, where he's now the senior pastor at Ascension in Waterloo. Later that year, we also saw many youth leaders move away and start other chapters of their life. In August of 2006, I started working for St. Peter's Lutheran Church as the assistant youth director, which was a fancy term to say, you're stuck with the middle schoolers. And now, through many name changes of positions and whatnot, I am now the director of youth ministries here at St. Peter's. All right, now for the sermon. As I said before, I've seen a lot happen here at the church, and one of those things is the many people that have stood right here and preached God's love and grace. So this has given me 30 years of taking notes. So I made a checkoff list, and I've got through a few of them already. A checkoff list as I need to tell a short story, something personal, and the ever so not so funny joke with the long awkward pause. I thought I'd get some laughs. So over the last 3 weeks, I've had the great opportunity to be a part of both the high school and the middle school summer trips. Although spending time away from my wife, Joanna, and son, Jackson, is never easy, these trips are always important and a great learning experience for the youth and myself and all the other leaders. Being an odd year, we took our high school youth to the AALC Youth Convention in the Estes Park, Colorado, and each day was filled with God. These days would mostly go a little like this. Morning quiet time in the middle of the Rocky Mountains, where the youth sat by themselves with God and God's word, spending time reading and praying. Following quiet time was a morning session with time to meet and pray for new faces, preaching and praise. In the afternoon, our youth took workshops that ranged from how to use improv to show God's love, to answering the big questions like, are you being called by God for his work? Then each night was ended with another service and teaching and worship. Between being a youth, a sponsor, the worship leader, part of the planning team, and now the youth director, I have seen God do great things with this mountaintop experience. Youth have opened their ears to finally hear God's calling. This year, in one of our sister churches, a young man named Connor told me he came to the trip mostly to get away from his home life. He told me he didn't really believe in God. He told me this on the first morning during our mingle time with Swin and Dean. And if you have any questions about who Swin and Dean are, please ask our youth. They will share. I told him that morning I'd be praying that God would open his eyes and show him that God had always been there and has always known him by name before time was made. By the end of the second night, this young man's eyes were open. The love of the Lord and God showed great might in this once doubting and unbelieving young man. Connor would spend the rest of this week reading scripture out loud in our morning sessions and proclaiming that his unbelieving heart now believed. There are many stories just like Connor's that happen to our youth every year. But as I read today's scriptures reading during the first morning's quiet time, I was reminded the great pain that our youth have as well. You see, anxiety is not something that only adults struggle with. It's a day-to-day struggle that Satan has put in our lives to take the focus off of God and his goodness, love, grace, and mercy. Our youth have day-to-day struggles. These struggles include the questions of, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, and even that I'm not good looking enough. And these struggles are horrible thoughts. Horrible thoughts lead our youth into depression. Youth that I know that have great family lives and strong faith in the Lord are crushed day to day because of this fallen world. Youth are driven to find self-worth in ungodly things, harmful relationships, drugs, alcohol, and even thoughts of hurting themselves. So I pose this question, are they good enough? And the truth is, they're not. You're not, and certainly I'm not good enough. You see, we live in a fallen, broken, and sinful world. By our own might, strength, and understanding, we fail. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but God's love and grace, we have been redeemed. In holy baptism, we've been sanctified, that is, being set apart by God, so that we can, now in his eyes, be enough. In our second reading, we read what is commonly referred to as the holy rollers of the Bible, or also the hall of faith. We hear names such as Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac, and Jacob. These are all great people, but in and of themselves, there is nothing special about them. The reason we see their names written down in Hebrews isn't so that we can marvel at how great the person was. In fact, each of these people still had great downfalls that we would never think of doing. However, the names are there so that we may marvel at the greatness of God. You see, it is God who gives us faith by his never-ending grace that he has poured out for each and every one of us. For we are saved by God's grace alone and nothing that we've done. It is by faith that Abel had offered the more accepting offering. It is by faith that Enoch was taken up so that he shouldn't see death. And it was by faith that Noah was saved from the flood waters. By faith, Abraham obeyed God and was called out to a place where he was to receive, a land that he did not know where or what was in store for him. By faith, Sarah received the power to conceive even when she was past the age of childbearing. It's their faith that set them apart. It's the faith in Jesus Christ that has set you and I apart. This message of grace is of the utmost importance to preach to not just the youth, but to everybody. In our gospel text, Jesus tells us not to be anxious. We're given a great illustration of ravens and lilies. The ravens go day to day with no storehouses or barn, and yet God feeds them. Not even Solomon in all of his glory was arrayed like one of God's lilies. But how much more will God clothe us to be better than the flowers of the fields that are here today and gone tomorrow? How much more valuable are you and I to God than a bird and just some flowers? We're everything to him. We as humans have all been chosen for adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. You see, it's our faith in God that matters. It's our faith in God through his grace that saves us. So I want to end, and I figured I spent 7 minutes of your time already, so I wouldn't be too long. I told the office staff 27 and a half minutes, so I think I'm doing okay. But I wanted to end with a story that was told in Colorado by our speaker, Bill Yonker. And the story goes, a young man was walking down the street next to a large fence. As he was walking, the young man kept hearing the number 13 repeated over and over again. All he could hear and think was about 13, 13, 13, 13. Finally, having the curiosity of why people were shouting out the number 13, this young man was searching for a way to see over or see through the fence onto the other side. There was no gap under the fence to see under, and the tops were too high to reach over and pull himself up. So the young man continued to search the whole time, hearing 13, 13, 13. Searching and searching, he finally found a part of the fence where a knot hole had been pushed out. So he bent down, and as he looked through the knot hole to see why everybody had been shouting 13, he was poked in the eye, and he heard 14, 14, 14. And I tell you this story so I can tell you this. The answers to life and facing anxiety are not on the other side of the fence that can't be found. It's not something that can only be found looking through a knothole. It is, however, able to be found through God's grace and mercy. By the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's found in his holy and precious word, the Bible. Once we realize all that God has done for us, we can finally know we are good enough, we are smart enough, and yes, even pretty enough, through him who reigns and rules eternity. Like the song by Bob McFarlane goes, don't worry, be happy. He should have just added, by the grace of God. So someday, a long time from now, when I pass, people will look back and see that even a sinner like me can be mentioned with the rest of the holy rulers. and be placed into the hall of faith in heaven with Jesus Christ, because the faith that God has blessed me with through his endless grace. Amen.